For the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6+ years in that gamers media combined, we'd like to thank you for joining us as we farewell the PlayStation 4.
This conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations about the next generation, please check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, Twitter. All our links are below me right now.
If you want to join those next-gen conversations as they happen, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist where you can watch us record this show live. Get in the chat and become part of the show. It's exciting times,
man. Yeah, get in the chat. Complain that we don't start on time.
Yeah, get in the chat and be like Dash and be like, you said you'd start at 4. It's 4:09. Like, no, we're not going to start yet. It's 4:11 now. We still haven't even done the show yet. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. Go to if you listen to us on podcast services like iTunes or Spotify, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you happen to be watching us on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. I will endeavor to answer to every single comment. There's going to be a lot of videos coming up, especially with PS5 and riding days away. So I have a lot of things planned. Whether they happen or not, I don't know. But the idea is they could be there, so maybe you should subscribe for that. If you want to support us financially, you can. Patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it.
What a spiel.
It is a good spiel. Max, this is where it's getting crazy. Like, as of recording right now, it's 5 days away.
Yes.
As of the day this goes live, 3 days away. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I went and paid off mine in full as of...
For PS5, of course.
As of yesterday.
Yeah.
Traded in my old PS4, a couple of controllers, a couple of games, got $580.
Not bad.
So that, you know, covered the majority of my costs. So now, you know, console's paid off, extra DualSense is paid off. You just got to pay off Demon's Souls.
Demon's Souls,
and
nice.
Then I'm all good.
Yeah, I think I paid mine off like what, a week and a bit ago. I just kind of got it across the line because I bought it from the one closest to work in town. So now we have two sites. So I paid for the one closest in town because I'm like, there's a higher chance I will be at this site.
Okay.
Turns out in the last 8 weeks, whatever, nah, I'm at the other site more often now. I'm like, God damn, you son of a bitch. So knowing that I wouldn't be at that site between like when I paid it off and launch. I was like, well, I want to have it clean before I go in. I want to be able to go there on launch morning, be like, hi. And they just hand it to me and I leave.
Where are you picking yours up from?
Geelong.
Ah. So I'm going more ponds. And as I left yesterday, he's like, hey, man, you've paid for yours. We're not open till 9, but we're here at 8 if you want to just come in and wave. And I'll just through the door.
Oh, well, I got told the Geelong's at 8, like regardless. So.
Okay.
Sick. I don't have a coffee beforehand.
I was going to see if you wanted to catch up for breakfast, but I'm not coming to Geelong.
Well, I've got to come home. I've got to come back. Be like, boxes can kiss. And then
No, I'm going straight home.
Yeah.
I'm going straight home to play Demon's Souls.
Yeah, I did consider one ponds, but at the time, Geelong seemed like it made more sense. Turns out it wasn't.
I mean, weren't you taking time off anyway?
I am taking 2 days off. That's very true.
I'm taking a week and a half off.
How's your week been, man?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad. No, just working. Just getting everything ready because I have a feeling that my boss is working for me. So I'm just going to make sure everything's schmick when I leave.
So you can't be like...
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
What about you?
Not much. Happy birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I turned 31 yesterday at time of recording. That was Friday. That's pretty cool. Being 31's fun.
I take it my invite got lost in the mail.
I didn't do anything.
True, but not allowed to, I guess.
Yeah, no, we didn't really do anything. We went to my in-laws. We had a big Chinese feast, which was awesome.
Ooh, Chinese.
Yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed it. Nice. And yeah, just being older, not a whole lot happened. Mm. I didn't, you know, for birthday presents, I'm in my 30s now, so presents don't mean shit. But even then, it was weird. I got underpants and pants, which right now are worth more than money.
Mm.
Because I'm like, oh my God, I need new underpants so bad. because like I got my old fat underpants and they just like they ain't doing nothing. They ain't holding shit.
I'm pretty keen for Christmas. I wouldn't mind a few pairs of socks.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like I'm like, can someone people just get me new underpants? Because like these were designed for, you know, 26 kilos ago. Like they're even then they were, you know, pushing the elastic. You
can't just tie a knot on the side of them.
Just like staple them every morning. Yeah, and yeah, new pants, new better fitting pants is a big must. I also got I bought it myself because I was like, I bought it and then went, oh, you can give me this for my birthday, I guess, just so I don't get in trouble. I'm a big fan of the Fleetwood Mac album Rumours. For Record Store Day, they released an alternate version called Alternate Rumours. So I've picked that up and I haven't listened to it yet, but. Yeah, pretty excited for that. Because it's like recuts, retakes, but some demos. It's sort of like, here's the album, but through a different perspective.
Yeah.
This is what it could have been, which is cool. I like that idea. Yeah, other than that, it's been pretty low key. Yeah, nothing too. Once again, it's that age where, you know, just old. And then because I'm a garbage person and I constantly forget to wish people happy birthday on Facebook, no one. Almost no one's had birthday on Facebook.
Oh, sorry. The card that I sent you was just worthless.
No, it was actually pretty accurate, which is, I honestly kind of appreciate it because I'm like, hey, thanks. I know we haven't spoken in 4 years, but thanks. You know, but it was just like, cool.
Yeah.
Easy. Like, yes, it means I'm less friendly with more people, but I don't know. Because I'm horrible and I just forget. And I don't post on walls anymore. Like, if it's your birthday, like I think it was with you, I just message you.
Yeah.
I don't have to present happy birthday everyone to the world. I just send it to you directly because A, that's more personal and I'm not trying to present something.
And two, the image that you sent me would have been flagged on Facebook.
That's so true. Happy birthday.
Like, you know.
But yeah, no, that's a whole other issue with Facebooks anyway. It's it's crazy.
So you weren't sitting there at 11:59 on Thursday night going, now it begins. And you get that stream of notifications. No one loved you right on midnight.
No, my sister did go happy birthday and then racial slur. And that was like 2 in the morning.
Jeez.
So I was like, thanks. Wow.
Yeah.
yeah, but no, even then I was in bed by like 10:30. An old man life. Yeah. You want like one of my younger staff members at work, like, won't you have the day off work for your birthday? I'm like, because I'm not 17. Like, what am I going to do?
Not work.
And it's a Friday. Like, my kid's a date. My wasn't a date. He just annoy me all day.
Yeah, long weekend, man.
That's true. I've had like nothing but long weekends. So this week was a short week. Next week's a short week because of PS5. The week before, I took the Monday off because I blew out my shoulder. And the week before that was a public holiday for the football.
Yeah, I haven't had a public holiday off in a long time. I've been working them, which has been good. Which has been good.
Anyway, let's chat about things that we have been playing. Now, we will mention this off the bat. We can't get into it right now. However, we have both been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So the team over at Ubisoft Australia did provide us the code for that. We've been playing it for a little bit. We've got a little bit coming up. And we'll talk about that in a couple of days. But as of right now, that's all we can say about it, I'm afraid. That's it. What else have you been playing?
The other Ubisoft title that they were kind enough to provide us a couple of, I've been playing Watch Dogs.
Yeah. How are you now? So like, I think you've put more into it than I have, I think.
Oh, probably. I'm about 7-8 hours deep now. The game's okay. Mechanically, it runs very similar to that of Watch Dogs and Watch Dogs 2. I'm just struggling to find, because you played as a character in Watch Dogs 1 and 2, you personified the protagonist of those games.
Yeah.
This game feels so empty because you can play as anyone. So despite the fact that there's so many people you can play as, you just don't feel like you have, they're all faceless, meaningless people in my opinion. It's not like, oh no, I've died because I have 3 other grannies to take her place. Or 4 other construction workers that can use the same drone.
So many construction
like,
workers.
Like, it's just, it kind of takes me out of it a bit because I'm playing with permadeath on, so if they die, they die. But it doesn't really matter because you just go out and replace them with someone else.
See, it's funny that you say that, though, because initially I was like, I just can't care if they die. And then I was playing the other night and I just got a little bit cocky. and you know, $2 store Elton John.
Well, see,
he got shot in the face. He got like a blown apart by a security drone, and I was like, oh.
So I play so loosey goosey because that doesn't matter. Mm. Like I'm just like, eh. If this one dies, another one will take it.
Well, because like
I feel like I've just got like an army of lemmings to do my bidding.
Like I put a bit of effort in. I gave him some new clothes, gave him a new look. I was like, hey, he's looking all right. Like he's looking like a new man. He's looking less $2 Elton John. And then yeah, shortly after I put all that effort in, I was like, all right, let's take him. Oh, you're dead. All right, well that's a shame. But thankfully, all the clothes I purchased for him unlocked for somebody else. I'm like, well, fuck you.
And then I rebuilt somebody else. Pretty sure anything you unlock for any of the characters work for any...
Which I really appreciate, because that was my concern. I was like, well, why would I commit so hard to any character if it doesn't translate? But no, cool, so I can make them all wear the same stuff.
Yeah.
And, side note, for anyone that, like, you know, is for people, you know, about gender fluidity and how you present yourself, any character can wear fucking anything.
Yeah.
It's... awesome. So like you can literally make the characters however you choose. Yeah. It's not like you can't wear a dress. Like no, you can wear a dress, you can wear heels, you can wear whatever you want. It's a minor detail and it's so minor, but it's fucking mad.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm having fun with the game. I'm just finding it hard to relate to any of the characters because you play this essential faceless legion of characters.
Yeah, hence the legion, I guess. But, like, for me, the difficulty is I want to just sit there and, like, listen to a podcast while I'm playing it. But, like, there's enough of a story to guide me forward that I probably shouldn't listen to a podcast. But then I'm like, I don't really give a fuck enough to, like, listen to it completely. It's a really tough line to go through. And, like, I took out this big, bad woman, I guess. I don't know if actually was. Like, obviously, a mini-boss.
Yep.
On the way, and it was kind of easy. So I'm just like, I'm like, all right, I'm just kind of progressing. Now, granted, I'm not getting stuck in all the minutia of like the side stuff. So I'm not like, ooh, that looks like some tech points. You know,
and there's like,
I'm not trying to like constantly recruit people. I'm kind of going with whatever the game recommends. Like, I feel like you probably should get this person. Because I had a feeling if I got a little bit too deep in the selecting people, it would actually be of a detriment to me and I'd enjoy the game less. Now, granted, there was one mission where I had to essentially have to go to like this refugee camp and I met this guy and he's like, hey man, you know, you could do this. I'm like, cool. And the conversation ended and then I was like, I'm going to recruit you. And he's like, oh, are you with DedSec? Like, I just spoke to you about it.
Yeah, the recruitment missions seem kind of whack.
Mm.
Like, they're very disproportionate to what the character itself is.
A little
like,
bit,
like
yeah.
I don't know if they're all the same, but I know the first construction worker that I got, she's like, oh, yeah, dude. I work for the mob and now I owe them a bunch of money. Can you, like, clear my debt and I'll come work for DedSec? So you, like, go and hack away all her debt to the mob, and then she joins you. She's like, oh, thanks, man.
The other issue that I'm facing is that, like, there is a lot of repetition here.
Mm.
Like, every mission structure feels the same. Go to place. Stealth place.
Yeah.
Hack something. You know, hack it without even going in the building.
Mm.
Leave.
Yeah. Yeah, drones are really OP.
I haven't seen anything other than that. Like, I've not seen any slight variant in that mission. Like, I understand, like, if you break any game down to its core, there are, like, all missions are very similar. Mm. But here, it's just, like, because you do get in the action if you make a mistake, you know, with your hacking thing.
Well, it's super hard to get rid of the police if you get the police on
you.
Because they've got their own drones, and they hunt you mercilessly.
The checkpoints and stuff as well, which is brutal. But, yeah, so, like, even then, so you go there, and you kind of hide, and fuck with drones, whatever, you're like, done. All right, thanks, man. And like, yeah, it doesn't feel like there isn't that I'm not seeing a sense of completion. I don't know whether it's because I like a different game. Like,
I mean, for a while I was just driving around a scissor lift and just like jumping up onto the roof of the buildings and then hacking and then just getting back down, getting back in my scissor lift and then driving away.
Yeah, I had higher expectations, but I think that's me also forgetting what a Watch Dogs game is.
Yeah.
Like, I do think none of this is new. Like, this is all stock standard Watch Dogs 1, 2, and now 3 stuff. So here I am being like, why is it doing this? It's because it was there before. It's like, oh, I can make the cars, like, I can control the cars.
That's
like,
so fun.
That was there last time. So, like, that's not new. Like, all these cool little features that I'm applauding or features that I'm dissing were already there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why I was more enticed by this one specifically. Mm. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, but for me, the original selling point was I can play as anyone. That's really cool. And then I've realized that that can also be its biggest detriment to the game, is that because you can play anyone, no one really matters.
Mm.
I've got to add this into the quick bits of the news, so I'll bring it up here while we're talking about Watch Dogs. Did you see that that their algorithm for creating NPCs got them into a little bit of hot water this week?
How so?
So when you go to when you scan an NPC in the world, tells you their occupation, gives them a little blurb about who they are, what they do, what they're doing, and then it tells you their skills. So someone found online, someone posted a picture of someone of a woman that they scanned. She's a pediatric nurse, and her little blurb is just broke up with a patient. Whoops.
See, that's the problem. When you completely randomize something, there is the very likelihood you're going to get something fucking weird.
Yeah.
And that is something weird. Yeah. Now, I imagine statistically, like, that is incredibly unlikely. Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's the same irony of, like, hacked game, you know, notorious for hacking game code as the same week that someone leaked the Watch Dogs game code.
Yeah.
So, you know, there you go.
I thought it was a funny little tidbit as you know, random algorithms running wild as per usual.
Well, check anything else out?
This week, no, not really. It's just been Watch Dogs
and the other one.
Yeah.
I've had an interesting week actually with the games that I've been playing. So,
oh no, sorry, I'll cut you off. I finished the raid in Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh yeah, talk about that.
Okay, sorry, completely forgot about this. It's intense.
Yeah.
So we did it over, there's three parts. You have to complete one before you get the other ones. We did it over three nights. Took us about 6 hours in total across the three nights. Man, you really need to teamwork. Otherwise, you are not going to get this done. Okay. So we played with one person playing each of the character classes. Mm-hmm. And I somehow managed to rope myself back into being the healer of the group. Which is fine.
But like the healer is the most integral. You never respected as a healer, but you are the most important.
Well, it's funny, and not to toot my own horn, but we actually finished the last part of the raid purely because I was the healer.
See?
We had the boss at one shot. A friend of the show, Cass, was in there fighting the last boss, and he goes down. There's no way to get into that room to revive him.
Mm.
If anyone dies, it's a wipe. As a healer, my ultimate ability is I can heal any. I can revive anyone no matter where they are. Doesn't matter. I managed to get the revive on him with 1 second to spare, and then he manages to kill the boss. We finish it.
Oh.
It was so good. I literally had no special bar full, so I think it's resolve in Legends. I'm like, no one touch anything. I just run around, threw bombs at everything, trying to get my resolve up, and literally as it ticked to 1 second remaining, I managed to get the revive on him. That because we were in there for like an hour and a half.
Jesus.
It would have been brutal. But it is so much fun. I cannot believe that it is a free update for that game.
Mm.
It adds so much content. And then the game realized that I was the most valuable player, and it gave me 4 pieces of legendary gear and gave no one else any. But oh man, if any of our community is playing Legends and they want someone to raid with, hit me up because I am down to do it again. It's a good class. Healer. No, I'm playing different classes now, I think. Need to get all the loot because you get gear, you get cosmetic gear for finishing the raid as the class that you're playing. Mm. So I want to unlock all of them, so I've got to go through it another 3 times with the other characters. But it is so much fun. It definitely gets harder. The first chapter one is not too difficult, and it introduces some mechanics. Chapter two gets really, really hard. You have to get these achievements. There's 3 different achievements, and then there's invisible platforms. And normally, when you play online, you can see what platform will spawn if you have the right achievement.
Uh-huh.
In the raid, you don't get to see. So there's 3 characters with achievements, and 1 person doesn't get an achievement, and only he can see what platforms are there. So you've got to direct your team.
Oh, be like, wow.
You've got to jump. Now you jump. Now you've got 2 in a row, so you have to all 3 of you jump at the same time, otherwise you're going to kill each other. And it is rough because the person who...
So don't pose randos?
You can't. There's no matchmaking for the raid. You have to go in with a set team of 4.
Okay, that's good.
So there's no matchmaking. I mean, that doesn't stop you from, you know, the likes of, like, getting on Reddit and saying, hey, I need a group.
Yep.
But you definitely need... it you definitely need to be able to talk to your teammates. Otherwise, it just will not work.
That's fair.
But it is super fun. Nice. You know, because there's the time it's like, hey, man, you're up to jump. Gotcha. And then you just, we did that for about half an hour.
Yeah, and then it's like, I probably should get going. Yeah.
But it is so, so much fun.
Nice. Well, I've had an interesting week, as I said, with the games that I played. I played a lot of children's games as well, kids' games.
I am.
So the first one I played was Ben 10 Power Trip. So this one, I got an email from Bandai Namco. They're like, hey, man, no, you got a youngin'. We got some kids' games. You want to check them out? So there was three in the list. There was Transformers Battleground. Mm-hmm. Didn't look very good, so I decided to opt out. And the other was Trollhunters, which looked garbage, so I didn't want to play that. And the other one was Ben 10. And I was like, okay, Ben 10, my kid loves monsters. He likes aliens. Mm-hmm. This is probably up his alley. So I jumped on it. I gave a bit of a run before he would play it to see how he would go. At its core, it is an open world RPG.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's your kids. He's going to explain it. It's your kids' first open world RPG.
Okay.
So you are playing as Ben Tennyson. You know, everyone knows you, Ben 10. He has a little wristwatch, the Omnitrix, I think it's called, and he has like 10 different aliens, whatever, in it. Start of the game, you're in Europe. They haven't said like what specific country, but they just say you're in Europe.
Yep.
So you go there. There's some villain. I presume it's a long term villain of Ben 10. He's like, oh, take all your monsters, and he has these crystals and all these monsters fuck off. So yeah, then you're in this area, and then it's actually quite sprawling. Yeah, and then it's like do all missions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like go here, do that, pick up this, go do this, you know, go clear out this area, come back, go collect this thing over here. And like, yeah, it's literally an open world RPG. And like you've got a scooter, so you scoot around, and then you actually, as you start progressing further, you start gaining new creatures, and in almost like not in a Metroidvania-esque space, because there's no like, you can't get there until you get this. It just kind of like, it's beneficial if you have this character here. So yeah, and then you go back and you'll start clearing out things a little bit differently with that character, and then you'll move into this other area. Now it's fast travelable, and if you really wanted to, you could on your little Ben 10 scooter go from little area to area, which is what I did. I just wanted to out of pure curiosity. And there's things along the way, like little missions you can stop and do. So it is at its core a kid's way to get into an open world RPG.
That's cool.
Yeah, so there's characters with like interesting sort of characteristics to them. Giving you collectathon missions, giving you like go and clear this area missions. It's cool. Like if you're a kid and you want, like you see, and like you know, our audience aren't children. But if you're a parent and you like playing up on RPGs and your kid likes to pay attention to it, this might be a great way to get them into that space. Now my kid's young. He's three. He's about to turn four. He may not be old enough for this one specifically yet.
So is it?
But if you've got a kid that's, say, for about six, I reckon they probably have the cognitive ability and understanding of games, if they've been playing games for a little bit, to be able to really flourish within this world. Because as of yet, I've not died. Nothing is too difficult. There is some mild platforming. Didn't hurt me at all.
Is there any combat? Or is it just generally just fetch quests, go collect
things? No, there is combat. Yeah, like it's go clear out an area, and so you would become your little alien monster thing, and then you would just fight them.
Okay.
And then clear out. And like as of yet, nothing's been too brutal. And there's even like little secret like caves. You go in there and there's this villain called Decibel.
Yep.
And it's like a nightclub, and you have to kind of like dodge the dance floor because it's like patterns that'll kill you.
Oh, that's cool.
And these little small things like this is enough there to, if you're a young kid, like, wow. For me, I was like, all right, I'm feeling where this is going. I really appreciate it. But without it being like a property that I kind of care for, the open worldness stuff really kind of sinks in, and the collectathon. So I was like, you go there, do a combat. The character goes, cool, that was great. Can you do this too? He's like, oh, sure. Do it. But if you're a kid and you know these characters, or you care about these characters, or this world, you're going to have an absolute blast. Like, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm actively impressed by it. Will I see it through? Probably not, but I might, for funsies. Yeah. Maybe not with next gen coming out in a couple of days. And then see myself finishing it. But I'm sure I'll keep it around because my kid will probably get there.
Mm.
So, because additionally, today, time of recording, my son and I played the new Paw Patrol game, which is Paw Patrol Mighty Pups Save Adventure Bay. So Mighty Pups is a telemovie that they made where a meteor comes and lands in Adventure Bay, which is the location that they all live in, and this meteor gave the pups superpowers. So they become like this little Justice League, and it's kind of cute. So they've taken that and they've put this into this game. So you have a lot of general sort of gameplay, and then it kind of back ends the mission with some Mighty Pup stuff. And at the end, you take on the big robot that they take on in the telemovie. So this is essentially a sequel to the 2017 release Paw Patrol On a Roll, which I did also play with my son, who was then two at the time. Mm. So he couldn't really play it. He could press buttons and I could tell him what to do. And he knew them. At the time, he didn't really know all the characters. For him, it was doggies or, you know, pups or whatever. Where now he's, you know, nearly four. We played it this morning. We streamed it. So it's available on the Twitch VOD. It's available on the YouTube. And he essentially completed the whole game today.
Nice.
Yeah. It was amazing. All by himself. I had nothing to do with it. It's been really, really a proud moment as a dad. So because the game's completely different too. So with On a Roll, it was a side-scrolling platformer, mm-hmm. right? So it's all 2D flat, and you would just jump and da 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 da. Very boring stuff, but for a kid, it makes a lot of sense. It was super easy to clear out. We're here. They've actually upgraded the game quite substantially. So A, it's visually better. It looked really rough. Yep. On a roll, I have a feeling may have been almost like a proof of concept,
mm-hmm.
and then now they've gone, okay, we've seen some success with it. It's looking pretty good. We can make this better. So with Mighty Pups Adventure Bay, they have it looks a bit smoother. The animations are a bit better, which is awesome. There's the licensed music in here for the Mighty Pups specifically. No voice acting of the pups or any of the characters aside from Ryder, which is not the same voice as the show. First thing I noticed last time, and first thing I noticed here was licensed music, but they don't have the regular Paw Patrol theme. So weird. You don't see any other characters talk or any of the pups talk, but I understand the dollar value because this still is a budget game. So it's done by a company called Outright Games, which is a publisher, Outright Games, which also publish Ben 10 as well, because I think mm-hmm. they especially specialize in kids games.
Yep.
So here they've shifted up completely. No more side-scrolling platforming. It is essentially little open worlds.
Oh, cool.
So it drops. So at the start of it, you're in the lookout, and Ryder will be like, here are your two missions. So here are your missions. Here are the two pups that are needed. On you go. And it drops you in the area, and it gives you a list of tasks. And like there is, like any good open world, like it feels open, but it is directing you one way. So, you know, my son was able to run around and collect all the things as he went and sort of then come and get what he needed to do and push on through. Now, like he didn't hit all the goals in each, like he got enough goals to get through. He didn't get all the collectibles or anything, but he's four, who cares? But it was easy enough for him to get there. Now, previously in On a Roll, in terms of the base systems, it was jump and move left. Like there was very, and then occasionally move right. It was like very easy. And then you would get to an area where it would be like, there are three options for what you can do. One of them is correct. Press the corresponding face button and you got it. That's it. He nailed that, of course, back in the day. Now they've stepped it up. So rather than just being like, you know, press the face button, it's now you're learning combos. So you're learning, push left on the thumbstick and spam X. Hold, you know, spin the jewel stick in a clockwise or anti-clockwise direction, you know, and or it's swap characters with this button. And it took, and to his credit, took him no time at all to pick it up.
That's
so
good.
Like it's simplified enough to be really kid friendly, which is ideal in a kid's title. But there are some leaps here that are noticeable. Like if he hadn't played the previous one, I don't think would have hit this one as well. So I'm not saying you didn't need to play the first Paw Patrol game to understand the second one, but it's a great progression game.
Yeah.
Like, so now he could take those skills that he's gained here and bring it into another game that might be a little bit harder. There might be a reliance on, you know, more direction-based combos or sort of more multi-button presses.
Yeah.
And I can't be more happy with that. Like, because that's one of the biggest hurdles that I have. Like, not a big hurdle, but when I think about me as a parent and my son, is that, you know, I didn't start playing games until I was like 7 because I didn't really have access to them, and nor were they really that prevalent, you know, until the PS1 came out for me specifically. Like, I had Super Nintendo and stuff, but I didn't really get into it to the PS1. My kid is lucky. He's been playing, games have been surrounded his life because the nature of what we do here, and just it's what I love. So he's been playing since he could pick up a controller.
Yeah.
So I really am happy to see that, like, because what I find, at least from my understanding of games, it's either so kid-friendly, it's like so kiddie that it's embarrassing. It's like mobile phone games, or it's teen and up. There are very few games that hit that middle bracket. And I feel that this, because kids, you know, kids in at least until they're probably like 9 will appreciate the Paw Patrol. Like, it is kid friendly, and like, but it's not like degrading kids content. It's not like in the Night Garden or something.
Do you think that the licensed property of Paw Patrol is helping this game? Or do you think this game would stand on its own if it was a different?
A lot of what's in this game is based around the characters.
Yeah, because they obviously all have their own little
like specialties and powers with the Mighty Pups. Yeah, so it's certainly something that like it doesn't feel like they've just slapped a skin on it.
Okay,
like the decisions that they've made and how they implement certain mechanics are wrapped in what those characters can do, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, cool.
Because once again, that's the other problem with kids' games, right? It feels like they just slap a brand on something and it's the same generic as shit.
That was kind of more my question. Like, is it just...
No, so it thankfully it isn't that. Like, the first one was a little bit of that, but they've taken that to the next level here and they've really kind of put it together. Makes you go, okay, this isn't just that. So on top of that, you have the main missions. There are less missions than there were in Honor Roll, but they are expanded because of that open world nature. And they're sort of, previously on Honor Roll, there was just one step, two step, level done. Now it's like 3 steps plus some side stuff, whatever. And now they also have mini games as well, so that they're bringing in more of the Paw Patrol world. So you've got like Pop-Up Boogie, which is this video game they play in the game. Plus they bring in a bunch of side characters and just little cool different things to add to it. So now, although the main missions are truncated, like in terms of total number, like they are wider and you've got a little bit more side stuff to play. And as I said, it's a great stepping stone game for my son. And to me, that's priceless. Because he'll probably spend more time playing this game now than the other one, and it's only going to hone those skills further. So then in 6 months' time, we can play something else. Who knows?
So he's gonna,
in six
so,
months' time, it might be, I might be able to play Ben 10.
So he's going to be... Oh, I was going to say he's going to be ready for Cyberpunk when it releases.
he'll probably demand to play Miles Morales when it comes out, because he's already plays Spider-Man.
I mean, I can't fault him for that.
Yeah, no, not at all. But no, so yeah, so big thank you to Bandai Namco for Australia for providing the code for both Ben 10 and Paw Patrol. If you are a parent, like both both Max and I are, and quite a number of our audience are, and if your kid likes Paw Patrol or you want that sort of middle step game, then they're a little bit better than, you know, they're a little bit further along than say very basic games, but you need that stepping stone into the next space, and it's co-op too. So with the two pups on screen, he and I can play together. That is a big win for me. Like, that is like a heart-melting moment when he and I can play together. Because, like, we did that with Untitled Goose Game, and it was awesome. You know, it's that bonding experience. And I get to do that with something that he loves. So then he'll be like, I'm going to be Rocky, and you be Rubble, and I'm going to go over here, and you go do that. You know, because it gives him that moment of, like, empowerment and just sort of, like, you know, it's awesome. Like, I know it's a kid's game, so I'm probably blowing it up more than I should. I know there's a lot of feelings in here in how I'm approaching this, but it's great, man. Like, I love, even if it is all feelings based, I love what it's doing.
Yeah.
There's improved, like, even on an objective level, it is an improvement on the previous game, which if anything, 2 years from now when they release another one, I am very excited to see what it's going to be. Because if that was from step to this or step to that, then I want to see what's in there. Like, it's almost like they're growing with the fan base, which is really bizarre for a brand or a franchise that's ideally within one age bracket.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I spoke a lot about Paw Patrol just then.
Oh, no, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And I ducked into the stream for a little bit this morning, and James was definitely loving it.
I didn't even touch it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm just facilitating. Other than that, I played more Sakuna, but that review's coming out later in the week. I don't think I played anything else. No, I didn't play anything else.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Anyway, let's get into the section called Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, right off the bat, Max, as we said, this episode is the last episode that we are ever going to do, focusing, I guess, kind of within the PS4 generation.
Yeah.
There are some games we'll no doubt play across that, but with the backwards compatible nature of the PS5, it is very likely we'll be playing it on that platform. So as of this coming Thursday, our PS4 is the same buy.
Yeah, my old PS4 is becoming the my wife's Netflix machine.
Yep.
And I did suggest to you earlier today that we should give your PlayStation a Viking funeral and set it on fire in the bathtub, but apparently
that's
how houses get burnt down. So.
And on paper, it seems like a really bad idea. So I didn't really see it go much further. It would be cool, though, if we had like just a box we could set on fire to it. But yeah, so in impeccable timing, today the embargo dropped for the PS5 and their reviews. We have, we had to do shit. Max has selected some of the key bits that have come out of those reviews and want to break through them now. So just so you guys can know a little bit more before we go pick up those PS5 on Thursday.
All right, let's kick things off. So the reviews are out. And because of this, we do have more information about what's coming in the box. So let's start with its new SSD.
That illustrious SSD.
So on the box, it states, as we all know, 825 gig solid state drive. However, the PlayStation 5 will have approximately 667 gigs of usable data, making, because obviously it needs to hold all its
same regular formatting. Yeah, and regular format stuff. Happy with this because I did some calculations on Monday.
It is the...
No, Wednesday. I looked at what the launch games are, and I'm like, I should be all right.
It also uses the least amount of space for its set aside for system.
Compared to
the One X and the Series X.
But that's also proportionate. Like, if you have a larger hard drive, that OSC formatting is always larger.
Obviously.
So I wouldn't... I don't see that as a win. That's just...
Yeah. It's a little bit smaller than I was hoping for, but obviously we all knew that it wasn't coming out at 800.
Yeah, not happening.
So now you're thinking, well, it's not that big of a deal. They told us there's a second slot in there. We'll just slide a new hard drive in there straight away. Well, unfortunately, can't do that either. Turns out we'll have to wait a little while to expand the PlayStation 5's memory. In a statement sent to The Verge, Sony confirms that the slot will be disabled at launch. Sony still hasn't whitelisted any third-party SSDs to use with the PlayStation 5 anyway. You can, however, still use an external hard drive, but there are some interesting quirks with this. You can only currently move PlayStation 4 games back and forth between your PS5 and your external drive. You cannot do it for PS5 titles as of yet. So hopefully that will also be patched in. But it's interesting that you can't do it on PS5 titles, only PS4 backwards compatible titles.
I think, right, because I know, I did know that they said you can't, like, PS5 titles must be on the PS5 SSD or equivalent, you know, when they announced that.
But you can't even transfer it off and then transfer it back on. Yeah,
that transferring is interesting. Maybe there is a compression-y thing in there, but it's a hard drive is a hard drive, right? It's the speeds and stuff make sense, but the drive's a drive. Like, they're not formatted differently on an SSD compared to a spinny disk, are they?
Not unless you physically format them a different way.
Maybe they are. Maybe in order to optimize this SSD speeds, they have to be compressed or set up a certain way.
Regardless, we are stuck with what we're given out of the box for a little while. Hopefully it doesn't take too long for Sony to start whitelisting some solid state drives.
So we're going to talk about our first party games a little bit later in the show, but with this in mind, make sure you can Google the games that you're picking up or the games that you want to play and do the calculation. Map out the sizing. I did the same thing.
The only thing I know off the top of my head is Call of Duty is about 150 gig.
120 something.
That's not including Warzone. That's just Cold War.
Yeah. So take that into account. do the math. The information is out there. The only one that I had difficulty finding was Devil May Cry, but I just added like 6 gig to what the old one was. So I did the math. I'll probably sitting about 300 and something used.
Well, I know there's only 3 gig difference between Miles Morales on PS4 and PS5.
Yeah, but for some reason, Call of Duty is like 20 gig. It's like 19 something on the PS4, but 130, 120.
It's 4K graphics, man. You know. Yeah. The more beautiful you are, the bigger, the more size you take up. Anyway.
Oh, man. Here I am getting thinner.
Let's talk about the new Accolade feature. So one new feature coming to the PlayStation 5 is what they're calling the Accolade system, which forms part of your user profile. How it works: when playing online with strangers, you will be able to award badges based on your experience playing with those players. There's 3 tiers: helpful, welcoming, and good sport. The idea is to add a reward loop to being a positive online player and a community member.
That's kind of cool. So this sort of goes in line.
I don't know if there's any reward system, but that would be my next thing. You do get like a badge for user profile saying, "Hey, this guy's helpful." So you know,
that's pretty handy to know though, because if you are on like Reddit and you go, "Hey, I need help with this," like, "Yeah, I'll help you out," and it comes and just janks you. You know what I mean? Like, at least with this way, that there is some sort of reputation within the PlayStation Online system. So it's within your best interest to behave.
Yes.
And it's good. And like, if there is an incentive, like, you know,
Well, now that chat logs are can be sent away for review, like, you should be a good person online.
Yeah, anyway. As I said, like, Cass is getting banned, but not on, like, just because we say he will be. We don't have control over that. But I like the idea in premise. I'm pretty sure I'm just going to be like, "Hey, Max is a good sport."
You cannot give accolades to your friends.
Oh, what?
Only for strangers.
That's cool, interesting.
It's good because it means you can't inflate your own numbers by being like, "Hey, man."
Yeah, but I don't play with anyone that I'm not friends with.
Oh, guess I'm just going to be vague. Guess you're not getting any badges.
No, I'm not getting any badges. Oh.
It's gameplay time, Ryan.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 5 adds a new feature that displays your overall playtime in both next-gen and PS4 titles. The data appears to be retroactive, so you'll be able to see the number of hours you have spent with titles through the years. Sony does appear to be pulling this data from its servers, so you may need to be connected to the PlayStation network in order for your sessions to be logged.
So this is cool, because the amount of times that we've had conversations on this show when I've reviewed something, they're like, I'm pretty sure I played it for like X amount of hours. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have such a poor understanding of time that this is an incredibly handy
I can't wait
feature.
To see how many thousands of hours I've spent playing Rocket League or Destiny or
And it's
Witcher.
Good. It's good they implemented this, because I remember, was it the back of 2019? They had that, they released that thing where they could collate your data and graphic your data, and they get that little infographic like, this is the game you played the most of. This is your first trophy. This is your latest trophy. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So obviously they have all that information here, and I'm glad that they're putting that into the console itself. So yeah, like, you know, I'll look at the 50 hours that I spent with God of War or, you know, this and that. Even if I play it now on PS Plus, it's going to add to that time, which is interesting. Yeah, constantly accumulating is a bit weird, but with many games as a service, you would presume that you're going to play it once.
Hmm. Quick resume.
Probably Xbox has been touting this pretty hard this week.
It is. The quick resume is the new hot word for the hot word for the week. Looking through the various reviews that have come out, it appears that the PlayStation 5 doesn't have quick resume. There is, however, an option in the control center panel named Switcher, but at present, it lists your most recently played games. You can technically toggle to a different title from here, but it reboots the title.
See, this just could be me and being an old man. Why the fuck do you want to play 2 games at once?
I mean, there's times where I'll be playing, let's say, Ghost of Tsushima. I'll be playing that. And then my friend gets on and he's like, "Hey man, let's play Quick Game Rocket League." Cool. I'll go play Rocket League, knowing that I'll play a few games and then I'll want to go back to what I was playing. I mean, realistically, from what a lot of the reviews are, as Dash puts in the chat, it's a personified player's dream. But with how fast games are going to load anyway, we're probably only looking at a couple of seconds to reboot our games anyway.
Yeah, and like,
we can't literally spawn right where we left off, but like, How precious are you on time that you can, you need to save those like 5 seconds?
See that. See, to me, that just that seems pandering to this current generation short-term attention. Oh fuck, I'm an old man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it's just it's that's what it's gonna be. Fuck. But I mean, like that's how I see it. I look at that and I'm like, well, who that? I'm like, what's the deal? But once again, this could be something that I'm not looking at it the right way.
It's interesting. Do you if it how do I want to phrase
because once
this?
Again, similar to how you're saying, like once again, this could as I said, my perspective could be backwards here. Stop being old. Yeah, I had a feeling that may be the case because I'm looking at this going because I play one game and then like I don't tend to chop and change too often just because I have a poor attention span, but my attention span's garbage in the way that I'm like, yeah, I'm done, I'll leave.
But see, when I change games, it's, all right, I'm booting up, I'll be back in a bit, I'm going to go get a coffee, or I'm going to go get a drink, or I'll go make a sandwich or something, and then by the time I'm back, I'm ready to go. If it's instantly loading, like, there goes my coffee time.
Yeah, but once again, like, the selling point of this next generation, on paper, is that it's going to be fast. Hmm. So why do you, like, need to do that? Like, granted, a game like Grand Theft Auto, which I'm sure you'll talk about shortly.
Yeah, I have the number.
Like, the boot time on that game is bum.
Yeah.
So, there would be that benefit. But from the data that's come out, that's not going to be
well, the thing is, all the data that's come out, none of them are PS5 titles. They're all backwards compatible PS4 titles. So, we don't know how fast the new games are going to load.
Yes. It's just, oh, I guess it's just because I don't. Yeah, I think it's because I don't play a lot of multiplayer stuff. If I played my multiplayer stuff, I have a feeling. Once again, my understanding for this coming because it's not for me.
Yeah.
So I'm not poo pooing it as like why don't we have it? I'm like I don't get it. It's the same reason that I didn't care about crossplay.
Yeah. Well,
because you were wrong I don't that. Play multi. Oh yeah, big time.
You're wrong.
But my stance had always been. I don't get it.
It doesn't affect me, so what is it?
Yeah, it's one of those things like, cool, if it happens, awesome. I still don't see it as the big issue that everyone claimed it was, but now the barriers are gone, I'm like, sure, whatever. You know?
Like, I don't think this is I'm going to buy an Xbox now because my games will already be where they are when I want to play them. Like, I'm still going to...
Yeah, I don't see it as a selling point, personally.
No. Yeah.
And I don't know how it could be, but I'm also... wrong because you're going back right now and for some reason listening back to old episodes of this show the ones that you weren't on and we've said some ballsy shit in the past.
Yeah, I really like the Death Stranding's not coming out until 2022.
that was a common thought. But I also pooed on that game endlessly until I played it.
Anyway, moving on. You know what I
have Bugsnax, you know.
You know what I am looking forward to? Preferred settings presets.
Go on.
So a YouTube video uploaded by Sony Support reveals a new game presets feature on the next generation console. In this, you are able to select preferred settings, such as difficulty, and whether you would prefer to play in performance or resolution mode. There also appears to be settings for first person views and third person views, which I assume will allow you to toggle between inverted controllers.
That's mad.
There is also a subtitle setting. However, the individual games will have to be programmed to read your system settings. But if Sony is able to encourage developers to use this feature, it could be an awesome quality of life addition to the console. That's you can mad. Have everything preset up. You're like, I want to play on the most difficult. I want my subtitles on. I want to play with inverted controllers. And the game will read your system memory and be like, this is how he likes it. This is how we're going to do it. And it just automatically sets
up. Or if you remap controls, if you play the first person's a different way, that's genius.
I mean, you can remap controls on the PlayStation 4 at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
But this is kind of interesting. It allows you to kind of skip that initial preamble of,
well,
please select your...
Games that we've played recently where it kicks off and there's like five screens of picking how you play.
The accessibility options have become... increasingly better in games
and integrated lately. In general, which is awesome.
Yes,
and like there is that hurdle at the start. It's like, you know, I need that. Yeah, da. And if you can put that in now, like on a system level, and the game goes, "Hey, this person's colorblind. Can you put on the colorblind mode?"
Yeah.
Like you don't have to worry.
Mm.
Like it's there, and like once again, like that's incredibly like in terms of I feel even with the quick resume, even though I just kind of shat on it, what they're trying to do is they're trying to be more respectful with your time.
Yeah.
I think because as a whole, time is the value here.
Mm.
You know, previously we people had nothing but time, but now with everything demanding your attention, whether it be Netflix, social media, well, people, there's all these different things that take up your time. So here, if you can save this small accumulative amount of time, ideally that's more time for you to spend on PlayStation.
It's funny. I don't know if I've changed the setting or not, but when I boot up Watch Dogs Legion, for instance, when it gets to that initial start screen, it's like it literally yells at me and says, "Please press the cross button to continue."
Oh no, it does it on it does it. Yeah,
it's not on everything.
I went into the options and turned it off.
Okay,
but it still does it. Like once the game starts and doesn't no longer dictate.
Yeah,
but it does constantly every time.
And the last bit of information is on resolution output. So we know it does 1080p. We know it does 4K. I personally wanted to know if it did 1440p. Does it do that middle ground? According to an IGN Italy report, it suggests that it will not support 1440p. A translation of the article states that the website's editorial staff learned, quote, directly from Sony, that the system will not support 2K.
So this means in the idea of like when you go into your display settings, you know, they've got the four options. It doesn't mean the games won't hit 1440p. It just means your console cannot put out only a 1440p yep. image. So in the same way that you have 1080p TVs and 4K TVs, you'd can't use this. If you plug this into a 1440p monitor, you will only get 1080p as a resolution.
Yep.
Like it won't hit 1440. Now, this is a tough one. It's kind of shit that's not in there, but what is the, like, obviously there's a reason. If it's a situation of statistics, they're like 87% of our players, made up, play on TVs.
Yeah.
And they can know, and they should probably know that data somehow.
Yeah.
So like, therefore, it's not worth the money and or investment to support that resolution. You know, when really, it playing on monitors are dope. I can't argue that. Like, even though I play on Italian here, you play on a monitor normally. On a monitor, yeah. Like, there is a difference, a noticeable difference. And it would be awesome if they said, 1440, but I know you probably care more about it than I do.
Well, I was initially going to buy a 1440p monitor to use with the PS5
mm.
because obviously they are that center ground of they do look better, they run at a higher refresh rate, and they are significantly cheaper than 4K monitors, which is another big selling point. But it looks like they don't support that. I don't particularly wish to go into the new console generation still playing on 1080p, so I'm going to be sharing my 4K computer monitor for a couple of months. Until I can get another one. Which is fine. You know, ooh. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't really game that much on my PC anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
So, looking back at all this information,
I find it a little bit odd that they don't support it. I mean, again, I'm not a developer. I don't design these things. I don't make these things. I don't know how hard it is to be like, why can't you output it at 1440p? Maybe there is something that stops them. It's odd that they wouldn't.
Yeah,
but yeah, who knows? Who knows?
So having a look at all this information that have come from these PS5 reviews, how are you sitting? Like, are you still confident and happy heading into PS5?
I'm still super happy. Like, the big one for me, obviously, is it's definitely the preferred setting presets. I think that's a fantastic addition. And if you can set them up ahead of time, I mean, you gave the example of a colorblind player setting that up, so they just never have to worry about that setting ever again. Yeah. It's just... it'll just always be on.
Yeah, I'm probably in the same boat with X. Like, even though I couldn't be any more generic person. Like, I don't fuck with the settings. I don't play inverted. I tend to play normal. You know, I don't tend to fuck with the settings too hard. For me, it's not a benefit.
I know.
But if like with accessibility options becoming bigger and better and more intricate, using the likes of you know, Last of Us this year is probably the easiest example. Yep. Like, if you can preload the console on a hardware level to hit these things I said before, then that is next gen.
I think the only general button maps I change these days is I swap circle for R3.
Okay.
So my crouch becomes knife in Call of Duty, essentially. And I used to be one of those weird people that used to play in Southpaw. So my left stick was to aim, my right stick was to move.
Yeah.
But I grew out of that.
Yeah, cool.
You're good.
Like, I'm happy to allow inverted controls. Inverted controls are still weird, but I get the logic behind it. But what the fuck is that?
It's for left-handed people.
Are you left-handed?
No, not at all.
Like, what are you doing? I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Overall, like, yes, I'm in the same boat. I'm pretty stoked either way. I'm pretty excited about what the PS5 is going to be. The reason we selected these specifically in terms to talk about is because these are objective. This is objective information.
Oh, and
this
and
isn't any sort of like everyone's getting this. There is no subjectivity in how these are system shit, and that's what we want to talk about specifically, because we're going to get a subjective as fuck next week.
Oh, and apparently too, just to add in, the controller docking charging port is a mini PS5.
Oh yeah, looks like it, isn't it? It's very cool. Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. That's a big thing. The subjective information, can't argue it. Prepare to get subjective next week, because we'll be like, I love it, I'm gonna kiss it, I fucking hate it. You know, these are things that can't be argued. But yeah, let us know if these things tickle your little bits ahead of PS5s. Moving on.
I can't not use this segue. Talking about tickling little bits, let's talk about Sackboy's Big Adventure.
Oh, God.
So when Sackboy launches next week on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, you will only be able to play with friends in local co-op mode. Sumo Digital has made the decision to delay its online multiplayer functionality, with it instead arriving via a free patch before the end of this year. The same can be said of save transfers from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 versions. This functionality will not be available at release. In a PlayStation blog post, design director New Waterhouse said, "The team have been working hard to ensure the online is the very best experience it can be for the players, and we just need a little more time to get it right so you can enjoy it with your friends and family."
Man,
that's fun.
Sackboy, like all those, we'll get into a little bit later, but Sackboy is not really on my list.
It's not really on my list either. I wasn't a huge Little Big Planet guy either. Mm. So I have no love for the Sackboy himself.
Yeah, we do have one on the set. He lives up there. That was my birthday present last year from Dylan. Yeah. He lives in the middle there. He looks over us and smiles all creepily. But yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Just handy to know that information, I guess.
Let's talk some Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
So the PlayStation Store listing for Resident Evil Village has been updated with new details, confirming that the DualSense controller will be put to use alongside 3D audio support. The game, which may also come to PlayStation 4, will run at 4K with ray tracing and will have, quote, almost no loading times thanks to the PlayStation 5's SSD. For the 3D audio, quote, enhances the experience by making you feel that the hair-raising sound... I'm so terrible at writing stuff. The hair-raising sounds coming from every direction, and the haptic feedback is said to simulate the firing of real-life guns.
Mad.
Yeah.
See, like, as if I needed any more reason to really want to play Resident Evil 8. Like, I'm already excited. And then they're like, here's all these extra features. Like, huh! And when the idea of 3D audio... Now, granted, I'm not going to be done on any headset... But, like, I'm constantly just becoming more and more tempted to buy the new Pulse headphones.
I'm not.
Only
because that was specifically designed for it.
That's exactly the reason why. I'm like...
It would be worth testing them. I think if...
If I had a review of them, that'd be mad. But.
Getting a pair would be interesting to see the comparison. Like, I'm still waiting. I have an Astro A50 headset. I'm still waiting to buy this stupid pass-through thing. They just haven't... They're selling them everywhere else in the world except Australia at the moment. I still haven't been able to get my hands on one. So I'm just going to have to use like my monitor speakers, I guess, for the first little while.
Well, yeah, because like, I was playing a game this week with the headphones into the controller, and like it sounds fantastic. Mm. No problems there. But it's just like, because I use Audio-Technica AT, MX, M whatever the 50X is, whatever the fuck I'm talking. Love them. Love those headphones. But it's just like... what if it sounds better? Like, and it's, I guess, the novelty of them being new headphones as well is probably the big part of it.
Yeah, well, if you want to buy some, they're not coming to Australia until December.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of time to bank up. Maybe I can get it for Christmas or something. But yes, give me all those things for Resident Evil. No load times, mad. Ray tracing, mad. 4K, mad. Like, because it's one of those things, like, because it'll likely be a very dark and gloomy game, so having that HDR and mixed with the ray tracing will make those light feel cooler. It'll look cooler, especially if it's in the snowy sort of idea that they kind of alluded to in the trailers. The way the way light reflects off snow is very unique, so I think that will be a cool little way to go about it. I don't know about you, I'm That ticks all the boxes for me personally.
Let's talk about some Tony Hawks.
Tony Hawk.
So a free update is due to be released later today as time of recording that not only adds the new Crash Bandicoot themed items for you to collect, but it also brings a much requested change to how the tours operate. The update will introduce solo tours, and it means that you'll be able to play the Pro Skater 1 and 2 tours with every single character, including all the original objectives. As it is now, you can only do it you can only collect Skate and the Hidden Tapes and stuff with one character. Once you've done it once, they're gone. Downskies. Now, with this new update, it re-puts them back in. So when you play your next playthrough, because obviously you still have to play all those levels, you've got to get all the scores with all the characters, you can at least go and collect Skate and do other things at the same time, which is awesome. It was one of the reasons why I stopped doing it after like the seventh run through.
Yeah.
Kind of got a little bit old. So that's awesome. The update also brings the Birdman pack to the game. This pack of 10 decks is only available to purchase for a limited of time. But all profits earned from this pack will go towards the Skate Park Project, an organization aiming to, quote, create public skate parks in underserved communities. There are also 100 new challenges to push your skills to, and developer Vicarious Visions has tuned them to provide more cash and more XP than previous challenges.
Do what I did.
Which is awesome.
Let your kid play it. He's not very good at it. He just grind, like, because you get X amount of like $25 or whatever just for finishing the level, even if you don't do anything. He just plays it. 2 minutes, intervals, bang, 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 bang. I'm rich as shit in that game. I can buy all the things because my child grounded it out for me. Did all the grinding. Shut up, Facebook.
No, I'm trying to pull up the messages that I sent you earlier with the load times. So I was going to add them in here.
Oh, cool.
But
they'll be there.
They better be there.
Click on the message.
Yeah, I'm scrolling the wrong way. That's why it's not working. Okay, I should probably.
How? Just go over here. Click that message button. Hi, everyone. So one thing that they've done this week as well is that they've, using the PS5, they have looked at some load times for some PS4 titles and sort of to see where they sit comparatively. With the idea of this SSD, how does it work on old games?
Yeah. So they kicked things off first with Days Gone. So from a cold boot to the main menu, on the PS4 Pro, it takes 182 seconds.
About a minute and a half. No, two and a half minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Jesus.
The cold boot to main menu on PlayStation 5, 42 seconds.
See, as I said, I have no understanding of time. That's so much better.
just for interest's sake, to load a saved game takes 79 seconds on the Pro, 27 seconds on PS5. And
this is including like the patches and stuff they've done recently as well. So.
And the fast travel across the map takes 30 seconds for the Pro, 11 seconds on the PS5.
That's why I never fast traveled in that game. It just wasn't worth it.
Really good. Last of Us Part 2. Cold boot to main menu, 82 seconds for PS4 Pro, 37 seconds on PS5. So they are significant... significant increases. God of War, 45 seconds for Pro, 30 seconds for PS5.
Cold boot, yeah. Bloodborne?
Bloodborne doesn't have a huge gap anymore now that Bloodborne's kind of gotten fixed. So it's 48 seconds boot, 25 for PS5.
That's still halving it.
So it's halving it, but they also did a respawn after death. So 16 seconds on the PS4 to 14 seconds on the PS5.
2 seconds, so not two a major seconds. Difference.
Not a huge difference. And the last one they did with the least difference is Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, and so, you got GTA 5 on there as well, yeah?
Yeah, I do have GTA 5. I'll go back to that. For a cold boot to the main menu, PS4 Pro, 44 seconds. PS5, 43 seconds.
Yeah, so it looks as if that, so as we discussed last week, that compression system that they're using is already in place here. We're now seeing it in these other first-party titles. As a result, they are booting and looking better.
I mean, the smallest gap is if you fast travel in Ghost of Tsushima, it takes 7.03 seconds on a PS4 Pro, takes 6.87 seconds on a PS5. Almost, you know, inconsequential, really.
So the big one here is, and this opens a lot more questions around some factors of it, is GTA 5. Now, many people will probably jump on GTA 5, play it online, day of, makes sense.
So the cold boot to a single player launch for GTA 5, 175 seconds for PS4 Pro, 50 seconds on PS5.
That's a big difference.
But
single player, though.
Yes, but loading straight to GTA Online, 96 seconds on PS4 Pro, 95 seconds on PS5. So obviously, it's a server issue.
Yeah, so a quick resume would be incredibly helpful there. That is a game that I would, because like a lot of conversations, you're like, hey, to play some GTA.
Okay, so it's interesting though, because would a quick resume keep you connected to the servers? Because in GTA Online, if you're inactive, you get kicked.
Well, that's how, I wonder how that works.
You need to reboot into the online anyway. So what?
Yeah, but like, that's the only way I see it as being feasible. Like, in the past, when you and I were starting to run some GTA, you're like, you want to come play? I'm like, sure.
I'll see you in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, like, it would take so long for you to get in. It kind of, the motivation to play is almost lost.
Mm.
Where here, I guess, this is showing that it's a GTA end. So when they bring out the PS5 version of the game, ideally that change comes with it. We'll have to wait and see.
There is one thing I want to add here. I don't know if this is a PlayStation show, but I was watching a GIF earlier this week of The Witcher 3 on the Series X. Mm. The game loads so fast during fast travel, the game bugs out because the world renders in before it can hit a load screen. So you can see everything, and then you just pop into place instantaneously. It's really jarring.
Well, did they do that with Tsushima as well?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, they actually artificially extended the load times a little bit just because they need it to not shit the bed.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was hilarious that the whole game like dies because it loads too quickly. All right. Now, back to the quick bits. Where have I put it? Quick bits. Your PlayStation Plus games for November are Middle-Earth Shadow of War and Hollow Knight Void Heart Edition.
Yeah.
Both are currently available now. Bugsnax is also joining the lineup and will release on the 12th of November in the United States and the 19th for the European store. So I'm assuming we get it on the 19th.
What? Oh, no.
Because I think we technically part of the European store. Yeah.
What a shame. I can't play launch.
This is the PlayStation 5 version, not the PS4 version, and you are not entitled to the PS4 version for getting this version. If you buy Bugsnax on PS5, you will get the PS4 version as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. For those interested, Insomniac have warned people on Twitter that copies of Miles Morales are out in the wild. Reviews are live now. So if you don't want to be spoiled, be careful.
Yep.
Here are some spoilers. No.
I'm not buying it, Pot.
Control for PlayStation 5 has been delayed into early 2021. Apparently, it's not working well at the moment.
No.
Which is a shame.
Or they're just rethinking of ways to charge you more. Like, you think they'd have it worked out by now, but
That's a bit harsh.
Is it, though? All right, here is the top 10 best-selling games for the PS4, the last time that we will do this solely on the PS4. Oh.
I wonder if it will be. I wonder if it'll now be top 10 PlayStation games sold, and there'll be a mixture of PS4 lists. And PS5.
I don't know. I have to ask them. Actually, I'll respond to it on Twitter. I'll ask them. Top 10 best-selling games for PS5. I'm starting for the 1st of November 2020. That's the week ending of. Number 10, Madden 21. Number 9, NBA 2K21. Number 8, Star Wars Squadrons. Have you gone back to Squadrons yet?
No, not yet.
God damn, play NBA, bastard. Number 7, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. Number 6, GTA 5. Number 5, Ghost of Tsushima. Number 4, Crash Bandicoot. It's About Time. And number 3, Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope, which I did finish, by the way. I'll get to that in a sec. Number 2, FIFA 21. And number 1, Watch Dogs Legion. So yeah, update from last week. We discussed Dark Pictures Little Anthology Little Hope. Did finish it. Got the credits. Game is fantastic. Ending's a bit quick and you go, oh, that was fast. But other than that, really enjoyed it.
That's what I've heard. I haven't been able to go back yet. I started my playthrough with my wife. We're playing the multiplayer version, and she got her wisdom teeth out this week. And my kid's a bit of a butt lately at night, and it's really hard to find time to game.
Yeah. It goes so hard, and it's so well, and it's so good. And then at the end, you go, oh, okay. All right. Cool. I ended up having two people die. No. Yes. Yes. No. Yes. Two of them. One, I made a mistake and I was like, ah, shit. The other one felt completely out of my, wasn't a choice of mine. Like I something I saw a premonition of earlier and I was like, well, I'm going to avoid that. And I felt that I did everything to avoid it. And then it happened in a sequence that I had no control over. I'm like, that is dirty. It felt like a dirty kill and I didn't like that. Where the other one, I made the mistake. So I was like, I accept that one. The other one, I don't.
Fair enough.
Now, like Max and I, we're going to do a chat about the first party, about the launch releases. So let's pull up, let's go through the list of games that are coming out this week. And then we'll go into that conversation because we're going to talk about a lot of those games. Max, give us that full list and then we'll transition into it.
So you want the full list of launch titles?
I want the full list of games coming out.
Coming out. Okay. So we have 13 Remake coming out November 10th. Wait,
sorry. Coming to the Play is the name of the segment. There you
go. We have 13 Remake coming November 10th. We have Destiny 2 Beyond Light expansion releasing November 10th. Assassin's Creed Valhalla launching November 10th. Technically November 12th for PlayStation.
Five.
Yes, it comes out on PS4 on the 10th, doesn't it? Yep. We have The Falconeer. No, we don't. Never mind.
That's Xbox, isn't it?
And PC, yep.
Yep.
We have Fuser coming to PS4 on November 10th.
Harmonix DJ game.
Yeah, that looks rad. Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition coming to next-gen consoles November 10th. PS5 time, baby. Yeah. Yep.
Yakuza it's coming to Xbox One X, too.
Yeah, Yakuza Like a Dragon. Coming November 10th.
PS4.
On PS4.
PS10. PS5 next year.
Planet Coaster Console Edition coming November 10th. Observer System Redux coming to PS5 November 12th. And then we have Spider-Man Miles Morales, PS5, PS4 November 12th. Godfall, PS5 November 12th. Demon's Souls, PS5 November 12th. Sackboy, A Big Adventure, guess what? November 12th.
Who would have thought?
Bugsnacks, November 12th. The Pathless, November 12th. That is not for us. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, November 13th. For those who have pre-ordered it, the preload is available now. Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, coming November 13th.
PS4.
And that is it.
Cool. Notice how a lot of those games are coming on the same day, Max.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right?
That's because they are launch titles, ladies and gentlemen. So that brings into the main topic of the show, the thing we're going to talk about. We still haven't got a fucking name for it. We are going to go through the list of the launch titles, and we're going to tell you what we think you should probably check out. Now, a lot of these things, we've sort of seen stuff. We've maybe even played it. There are things here, some things that are influencing our decision. So let's run through these titles and we're going to go what we think will be a must buy. Because right now here in Australia, the RRP is like $120. Like, fuck that. Now, granted, a lot of like Amazon's being really competitive right now, but
I'm going to throw this out there. Amazon are currently selling Assassin's Creed Valhalla on PS5 for $69. That is a bargain.
Yeah, it's half price.
Send it to a friend and he's like, thanks. I'm like, what? It's a good deal. He's like, I bought a discless console. And I'm like, okay.
Sucks to be him.
I forgot about that.
All right. So let's go through this. What, these are alphabetical, I believe?
They are not alphabetical.
Nope. All right. Let's go from the top.
So first on the list, Spider-Man Miles Morales.
So the question is, should you buy this day one? Fuck yeah, you should. Fuck yeah, you should. Why though, Max? Why should people buy it? Like, I presume you're in the same boat as me?
Yeah. I don't know. So.
Oh.
I will eventually get to this game. I don't think this is one of my I have to play this day one games. Like, everyone knows my I have to play this day game day one, and that's Demon's Souls.
Yes.
And that's I'll get to that because it's next on the list. For me, Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to be a fantastic game. It's coming off the back of Marvel's Spider-Man, which was an incredible title. For those who haven't played it, you know, you buy the Ultimate Edition, comes with the remastered version. I think this is the game that, for those who missed out on the PlayStation 4 generation, maybe they're coming from being an Xbox player, this is the game that they should buy, day one, no question. But for me, it's I can wait a little bit.
Yeah, for you personally.
For me personally. But for those who are coming in fresh And for those who haven't played Spider-Man, this is an easy day one purchase, especially the Ultimate Edition, you know.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. If you've not played Spider-Man before, get the Ultimate Edition, get the remastered version of the original. You will not be disappointed. I, having just recently played through the DLC again, and then sort of finishing off the game, big win. I think it's brilliant. I cannot wait to play Miles Morales. Personally, it's from the reviews that went out today, it's about 7 to 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That is a brilliant amount of time.
It is a perfect amount of time.
Like for me, you know, like especially with the amount of titles that are coming out of launch, having it sit within that 7 to 10 hour window is actually really quite consumable.
I'm super excited. Like, as much as I want the game to come out, I'm super excited that Cyberpunk got delayed.
Yeah.
It opens up 2 months for me.
Big time. Absolute big time.
21 days.
Yeah, so judging all those things, I'm like, cool, 7 to 10 hours, I can get that done probably within the first couple of days because, like, I've got the first 2 days off and then whatever, easy, happy, and then I can start moving into the bigger things. Speaking of bigger things.
So next on the list, Demon's Souls Remake. Obviously, this, I have purchased it already. It is ready to be picked up. I'm ready to go. This is probably going to take up a lot of my time for the first couple of days. It's one of the first titles that I play. It is one of the first titles I played on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot wait for it to be the first title I play on PS5. I'm not playing Astro's Playroom while I wait for this to install. I'm just going to wander around. I'm going to... This is the first game I'm playing on PS5.
Well, this... even though this is technically a remake of a PS3 game, this is probably one of the only definitive PS5 games that are coming out. Mm. A lot of the other games are cross-generation or cross-platform. Here, this is the game that you can only play on PS5. That is a big win. So for that alone, it's probably a good reason to pick up. However, if you've not played Soulsborne games in the past, don't pick it up. You're going to fucking die.
They're not overly accessible.
Yeah, they are not very accessible. You will break your brand new DualSense controller.
That's why I bought two.
That's what, yeah. I'm in the same boat as you. I'll check it out. But you know, for us, the nature of what we do here, the nature of the show, it's within our interest to play all these titles, especially the first party ones, to reviews them.
Yep.
But yeah, if I was a normal consumer, I would probably pick it up if I had the money to. It wouldn't be my number one on that.
It is, I think it was 130.
Yeah, it's 130 bucks.
Yeah,
and like so it is, when it is we're sitting here in Australian dollar dues, that's quite a substantial amount of money. Yeah. So like one of the other reasons we wanted to do this is A, because everyone else has done it, and two, because it's like, well, that's something we need to take into account. Like, games are more expensive than ever.
Especially considering you've just spent $750 on a console. Not many people are buying more than one to two games.
Exactly.
Because they're expensive.
Yeah.
Next on the list, we have Godfall. Now, I am super interested in this. I'm not picking up day one.
Neither am I. At no point has this game caught my interest. With its, because I'm not a big fan of this looter genre. So with this being a, quote, looter slasher, so it's a melee combat looter game, it isn't really ticking the boxes for
me. It's ticking my boxes. I love looter games. And I would like to see how a looter slasher plays out.
Mm.
It does look cool, too. It looks really interesting.
Yeah, this might be a... Actually, look, for me, even if this... Even if I saw the reviews, it still wouldn't swing me. I'm probably not going to pick it up regardless.
A game Ryan will definitely pick up. Next on the list, Bugsnax. He's going to love it. It's free on PlayStation Plus.
As I've said, it's coming to PS Plus, so it's a free game for everyone.
Everyone should play it. It is free.
Just because it's free.
There is no reason to not check it out.
I will play it, and as I said last week, and I'm willing to admit if I'm wrong, if this game's great, which I don't think it will be, I think at best it'll be good. I have a feeling it's gonna be like a 7. Everyone,
it's funny you say, you're like, I think it's gonna be a 7, and you're telling the guy who gave Last of Us Part 2 a 7.
Yeah, but you're
numbers are so dumb.
Well, yeah, so like a 6. It's like a 6 or 7, you know.
Can't wait to give it a 2.
That's how I see it. The game will be all bloat in terms of hype, but it will be. I have a look at it, and I predict that it will be a repetitive, simple game, and not in a fun way.
I hope it has like this really eerie, dark undertone, and it just like flips it.
Yeah, if the complete what they're showing is very different. And then they're like, it's this really moody and broody game. It's all about this undercurrent. I'm like, alright. That has me interested. But when it's like, bug thing. Yeah, I'm not the song, so I don't fucking care. But it's like, none of this seems appealing to me.
Mm.
But I'll give it a bell. For the benefit of what I do, I'll give it a go.
Next up, we have Sackboy, A Big Adventure.
As we discussed before, not really on the cards for me. Maybe a little bit down the line because I want to play with my son. Yep. You know, as we talked at length earlier about Paw Patrol and how it's that next step game, potentially this could be that next step game again because it's pretty simple. It's just platforming, but in a 3D space, I'm happy to give to that to be his next step. And that'll come in time.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm not really... Sackboy doesn't really do it for me. I think my wife might enjoy it, so I might pick it up anyway.
So my wife will enjoy it, so I'm probably not going to pick it up.
Astro's Playroom comes pre-installed.
Yeah, play it. That's easy. Astrobot VR was one of the best... Astrobot Rescue Mission was one of the best games on VR last year. Fucking play this game.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
You should probably play this game. Yeah. If you look at what Assassin's Creed has done in the past in terms of its big...
If you enjoyed Origin, Odyssey...
Yeah, like it's going to be up your alley. It's going to be a big open world RPG that you can play on day one. That is pretty huge. Now, granted, it is available on PS4. I don't know whether the cross-save stuff works, but I think there's the Ubisoft Cloud potentially. You know, if you want to go... If you've only got so much money on day one... You probably want to pick this up because you're going to get the most value on paper value. Yeah. If the way you process a game is time equals money, then this is the one you probably want to grab. Just because it's got the scope that you'll probably want.
Next off, despite the fact that it is one day after launch, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
I'm very, very interested.
It has zombies in it. I'm obviously going to get it. I don't know if it'll be a day one. It will depend on when the rest of my Call of Duty group get it. If they all get it day one, I'm going to be peer pressured into getting it because, FOMO of them playing zombies without me.
I'm also a little bit thinking not many people will have PS5s. Maybe I can actually be good for a little bit.
Like you did in the beta.
Yeah, like in the beta because no one was playing the beta. So I actually had moments where I was really good. Like maybe if I play this, I'll be all right at it. Ooh, wouldn't that be a nice twist? I'm very interested. I want to see what the campaign does. Except for Ghost didn't really deliver.
I give zero shits about the campaign. I'm literally in this game for zombies. I probably won't play multiplayer because I'm not as good as I used to be and that annoys me.
Mm. I'd say this might be...
My reactions are just not as good as they used to be.
First month.
But it'll literally come down to when friend of the show Noodle says, I've got it, and then I'll be like, okay, me too.
Either that, yeah, if you do, then I'll probably...
Because then I'm just going to be on that zombies grind.
Yeah. Either that or be like, if someone of my family goes, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, I'm going to buy me Call of Duty. Because normally it comes out around now.
Yeah.
So normally I'd already have it. So someone like, what do you want for your birthday? I'm like, oh, give me Call of Duty.
Next up, Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition.
Having not played it, I'm very interested. Now, I've pretty much confirmed that we'll be receiving a review code from Capcom for the title, so we'll be playing it day one. But
Devil May Cry is one of my all-time favorite franchises of all time.
Yep.
I love Devil May Cry. I'm so keen to play this again. And their special editions are awesome because they literally add extra...
Because they're not like special editions.
They literally add extra playable characters. Yep. It almost changes the entire way you play the game. It's like playing a new game because you're playing with a completely different character. They all have different movesets. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I cannot wait to play this game.
And because it's using the same RE engine that we saw in the Resident Evil remakes. So it looks mint. So I think it'll look even minterer. Yep, that's the word.
Even more mintish.
Mintish on the PS5. I think it'll look fantastic. So if you want maybe a good sort of, hack and slash action game to really sort of kick in, if that's your genre of choice and you want something that looks good, and it's also running at a higher frame rate, because with a game that's super fast and squishy and fast and intense. I said squishy because there's a gentleman named Squishy in the chat. If you want fast and intense action, that's what you want to jump on.
Next up, Watch Dogs Legion.
Yeah. If that's what you want.
I find it so bizarre that Ubisoft are releasing so many titles right next to each other.
Yeah, two big RPGs.
Because we've got Immortal Phoenix Rising coming out early December.
Yeah.
And they all look like they are big open games.
Mm. I think it comes down to because Valhalla and Watch Dogs are hitting two very different role-playing games.
Yeah, I agree.
Role-playing game players. And it depends on what you're looking for and what you like is where you're going to hang out.
Do you want to spend your time in a modern city versus...
Norse.
Chief. Yeah.
You know, it's up to you.
Mental blank there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's up to you. If you enjoyed it, yeah, cool. For many, I'd imagine it's not a day one, but that's all right.
Dirt 5.
If you like car racing, it's going to be like car racing or racing games always have the advantage of because they are not as grand or as open.
They showcase their graphics.
They tend to look amazing. Now, this game, if Dirt 5 is available now, I believe it's already out.
I think so.
So presumably it's going to get an update. Sure. See, with no GT for like the while, maybe not. Why not?
Next on the list is Fortnite.
What? How old are you? You're 12. Cool, get it. Sorry.
Observer System Redux. I think this is the
Yeah, it's a redo of Observer.
I never finished Observer. Yeah. Might be good to go back to. The Pathless.
That looks bad.
So that's that free-running arrow.
Yeah, it's that
game,
sort of like endless runner, free-running thing. We use the bow and arrow to like launch yourself. I think it might be a good little indie title to sort of, you know, as you go between these bigger titles, I think the Pathless might be that little palette cleanser. I stumble all over my words. That little palette cleanser between those bigger titles.
NBA 2K21.
A lot of people like that game. Probably play it. If you're going to buy it, you probably know.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Man Eater.
Nah, the shotgun. I don't think people should rush to get that.
Having never played it, not really on my list. Borderlands 3.
It's big. It's a big game.
Yeah, big update too. So I believe they're adding the fourth skill tree for each character.
I mean, like, if you want a game that's large in scope. It's got plenty of like loot, like lootability, replayability. Like, there's a good window of time that you're going to get a Borderlands 3 if you haven't already played it. Now, granted, if saves come over, then might even want to do it. It's a tough space. But if you want to like loot a shooter, and that's how the genre. If you look at this list so far, they're hitting a lot of different demos, and I think it all comes down to what genre you like. But there are some clear standouts in here, as we've mentioned before, with like Spider-Man.
It's a shame there's no traditional JRPG, but I mean, Demon's Souls is going to take up a lot of time.
I guess like if you want real Japanese, I think Devil May Cry might hit that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate.
Sure. I'm sure it'll look great. I'm sure it'll be fantastic, actually.
That had some bizarre upgrade paths, too.
Oh, yeah?
Like super bizarre.
And Rambo's in it.
Overcooked, All You Can Eat.
Fuck yes. Because if you're like, man, you bought two DualSense controllers, you want to do something with the other one, sure. Overcooked is mad. So this is essentially Overcooked 1 and 2 in one bundle.
And then lastly, Planet Coaster.
Nah.
If you're into those simmy games, I guess it could be fun.
Yeah. There you go. So in short, get Spider-Man, get Demon's Souls, probably get Valhalla. What else is on that list? What else we say?
Yeah, value for money and games of a length. Yeah, you know, you've got your Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Spider-Man Miles Morales is a short form story. But if you get the Ultimate Edition, you're getting that remastered first Spider-Man game, which both fantastic titles. Devil May Cry, if you want something to show off that's going to be flashy and look really good in 4K at a high frame rate. You've got, you know, Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Watch Dogs Legions to scratch those big open world games. If you're a racing car guy, Dirt 5, or girl, racing car person, if you're a racing car, get Dirt 5. For those of you who are still playing Fortnite is going to look fantastic now that it has ray tracing. There's a bit of something for everyone. But I guess don't blow your load too quickly.
Yes, I'm just playing up a photo. So I did the math. So I looked at the games that I'm probably going to play within the first week. So my list is as follows: Demon's Souls.
Yep.
Because of the name, you know what we do. I have requested some review copies for individual things. So Demon's Souls is on my list. Spider-Man Miles Morales, Devil May Cry 5, Call of Duty Black Ops, Watch Dogs Legion, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That's
Cold War, not Black Ops.
Black Ops Cold War, yeah, whatever. Yep. I have the full, like, that's what's going to be on my console. So as
does it all fit?
Yes. So I did the math. So Demon's Souls is 66 gig. Spider-Man Miles Morales without the spoods part, 57. Devil May Cry 5, pop around 35, 40. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, 133. Watch Dogs Legions, presumably, is 34 because the actual next-gen patch isn't until a little bit later. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is about 50 gig, according to Google's. So that leaves me with a total of 375, which leaves me a total space of 292.
That's all right.
So if I wanted to put something else on there.
Take some 4K screenshots, record some videos.
Then that bitch is full.
Then that's full.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of For the Players. As I said, this is the last episode that we are going to do ahead of the PS5. When we be back here, there will be a PS5 sitting right here.
I hope there's not, because it'll take up way too much space.
Well, at least initially, and then I'll hike it over and we'll move it out of the way. But keep an eye out here on the Twitch, on the YouTubes, or the podcast services, because it's about to go nuts with the PS5 stuff. We'll have unboxings, we'll have reviews and impressions. We've got a bunch of things lined up. As we said, big thank you, to all our the partners that we deal with. They're happy to provide us review codes, so we will have a good spread of games to play and release. Like, hopefully we're looking at jumping on Destiny 2 as well, so we're able to see how that goes on the PS5. It's good times, man. It's exciting times. Like, when we started this show nearly 180 episodes ago, like, we were deep into the PS4. So it's cool to be able to do that transition,
Yeah, definitely.
It's very, very exciting stuff. All right, send it home, Max.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in our next generation conversations, please check out our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Discord, all our links in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can get in the chat and threaten to fight Max just like Puck did. What do you fight you about, Maneater?
Maybe. I think he's referring to the person before him.
Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense.
I don't think Puck wants to fight me.
I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, Puck. I was like, coming up from the US just to punch Max. join the chat. It's actually a good fun. We do a little bit of pre-show, a bit of post-show. It's good fun. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. Now's the best time to get involved, man. Right on the next gen. If you want to send it out there, get on it. Yeah, Puck's doubling down on fighting Max right now.
Swim. You're a coward.
If you're listening to us on podcast services like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you're on the YouTubes, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and leave a comment. I endeavor to answer every single comment that we get. If you want to support the show financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, or you can buy merchandise and shirts and shit with our logos on it at our shop, popcultures.com/shop. But until next week, when we will be all up in some PS5, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. For the Players, the Pop Culturists PlayStation podcast is fan-supported at patreon.com/thepopculturists. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, Damien Holdies, Lee Winterchauvin, Sean Levitt, and Solomon Barak.